Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
What a day.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. It wouldn't be accurate to call the experience on Wall Street yesterday a roller coaster ride. That would suggest there were ups and not just a huge plunge. It was the worst day for the market since 9/11. The Dow fell over 3%, down 416 points to 12,216. The S&P was down 3.5%, giving up 96 points, 2407. And the NASDAQ was down close to 4%, losing 50 points to 1399. This all began in Shanghai, where the market dropped almost 9%. This morning, China's stock market bounced back, but other Asian markets haven't. As an example, in Tokyo this morning, the Nikkei closed down almost 3%, losing 515 points. Early indications are the U.S. market may move up today. How Wall Street responds could impact European markets. Justin Urquhart Stewart is a fund manager with Seven Investments in London.
The main driver, I think, overall is actually yourselves in the United States, because we all look to the American economy being the dominant global economy. And I think the phrase is, how low, how slow does it go? But certainly, if it's the U.S. economy is slowing, then it's going to be people at the end of the food chain, and particularly those emerging economies, which are going to be suffering most.
We'll find out in a few hours if investors on Wall Street are interested in buying after a long day of selling. After weeks of wrangling behind the scenes, European playmaker Airbus is about to announce its cost-cutting program. 10,000 jobs are likely to go, with France and Germany bearing the brunt. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
4,300 Airbus jobs are likely to go in Germany and 3,700 in France. Meanwhile, Britain will likely lose 1,500 and Spain 500 positions. The cuts are necessary, says the company. Profit margins are under pressure. The long delay in the delivery of the Super Jumbo A380 is partly to blame. But so is the rise of the euro against the dollar. That's made Airbus less competitive with Boeing. Needless to say, the job cuts are not popular, least of all in France and Germany. There's going to be a strike, says aviation analyst Howard Wealdon.
In the short term, I would expect some industrial action. I would be very, very surprised if we don't see hostility from trade unions. It's not going to be acceptable to French and German workers across the board.
Airbus will try to soften the blow by getting rid of temporary workers first. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The Democratic takeover of Congress has set off a titanic struggle between unions and employers. They're battling over a bill due on the House floor this week, which would make it easier for unions to organize workers. Nancy Marshall Ginzer has a story.
The battle is over the Employee Free Choice Act. It says workers can unionize if a majority sign cards authorizing the unions. Stuart Acuff of the AFL-CIO says right now employers can require a secret election, which takes months.
This act would streamline the process and would give workers greater freedom to freely associate and form unions and bargain collectively.
That could take a lot less time, just a few weeks. Acuff says companies like to drag out the process while retaliating against union supporters. The bill would penalize that. But Jason Suracheski of the National Association of Manufacturers says it wouldn't keep unions from bullying workers who don't want to sign the cards.
The union organizers go around and they collect the signatures. They go into the employees' homes and they say, hey, we signed this card, you sign it too.
The House is expected to pass the bill, but it could be blocked in the Senate. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By Medtronic, offering information to learn about sudden cardiac arrest and available life-saving therapies at Medtronic.com. And by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years with a commitment to provide objective financial advice.
A strange AIDS-like disease is wiping out an unprecedented number of honeybees in the U.S. This couldn't have come at a worse time. About 80% of the nation's commercial bees are needed to pollinate California's almond orchards at this time of year. But with bee losses that sometimes approach 100%, many beekeepers may not be able to stay in business. That has some experts predicting a pollination crisis for the country's fruits and vegetables. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
Lance Sundberg calls himself a flower chaser, but these days the seasoned Montana beekeeper feels stung by death. He's lost a third of the 5,600 honeybee hives he moves around the country to pollinate farmers' crops, and he considers himself among the lucky.
Currently, there's a lot of beekeepers that are losing 80%.
A condition dubbed colony collapse disorder has killed off tens of thousands of bee colonies from Pennsylvania to California. Scientists say the cause is still a mystery, but the impact is already being felt here in California's Central Valley. Sundberg cracks open one of his hives. The honey racks are covered with bees. This is what it's supposed to look and sound like.
A collapsed one, you'd open the lid and there'd just be a hollow sound. You can hear it pop and then there's nothing inside. It's completely gone.
California's almond harvest is the largest in the world, valued at around $1.5 billion. Growers say there are enough bees this year, but bee researcher Eric Musson says the coming years are anyone's guess.
The problem in the long haul is if you keep losing an awful lot of colonies and you're trying to build your numbers back up, during the time that the colonies are rebuilding, they're not making honey. They're not being rented for pollination. So you're not getting any income. And you just can't do that year after year after year and survive financially.
The implications for agriculture are huge. Honeybees pollinate about $15 billion worth of U.S. fruits and vegetables. And Musson says record prices for almonds are driving that industry. It's expected to grow 15% over the next few years.
That's a big increase. And it's going to be a big increase in the demand for bees.
Almond growers are openly worried. Dan Cummings inspects a patch of his 4,000-acre farm north of Sacramento. He plucks a blossom from a tree and strips the petals.
And then inside, you can just begin to see that little white almond nutlet there starting to form.
So the bee does that?
The bee does that. Yes, indeed.
In Sacramento, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.